As we head into the hot months, many Americans will struggle to pay for utilities like air conditioning, which in many parts of the country is not a luxury, but a necessity. Cities often open cooling centers for people who don't have it at home, but will people even want to go to those places like this during this pandemic? Mark Wolf is an executive director of the National Energy Assistance Directors Association. It represents state directors who are participating in a federal program to help people pay for this utility. And Mark, welcome.
Well, thank you.
Yes, glad to have you. So, Mark, before this pandemic, the Low Income Energy Assistance Program already did not have enough funding to help everyone who qualifies for it. Now we're in this complicated time where the need might actually be greater. Can you give us an overview of the average person who would be eligible for this program and how much people will actually be able to get from this program?
Sure. The average household, that might be a better way to put it, would have an income maybe up to $35,000, even $40,000 in some states for a family, say, of three or four. Average grants to cover heating and cooling work out to about $500. And we've had enough money to reach really only about 20% of the eligible population.
Oh,
a
wow.
Smaller number of states run cooling programs, but this year is different. We've received more money from the federal government. We received an extra $900 million in the first stimulus bill. So most states, especially warm weather states and states out west, will be offering some form of cooling this summer. We also provide supplemental air conditioners for families that don't have air conditioning systems or window air conditioners. One of the concerns about cooling, and this is what I think is important for people to understand, it's many low-income families are reluctant to turn on their air conditioners, even if they have them, because of the extra cost.
That brings up the point about the demand for this bill payment assistance and perhaps how it's changed over the last couple of months with a lot of people who have lost their jobs during this time and people also, as you mentioned, working home now more than ever. Are you able to determine how widespread the struggle to pay for things like air conditioning is at this time, especially in light of the fact that many utilities are not required to report how many customers are struggling to pay their bills?
We know about 28 million households, roughly about a third of all U.S. households are eligible for energy assistance. We can help about 6 million of those every year. We've looked at the data. Many people who were employed before the virus and maybe were over income, now because they've lost their job, they're technically eligible for energy assistance. We think there's another 6 to 8 million households that are eligible. So we're very concerned about the availability of funds. So we asked Congress for another $4 billion. The House recently passed a supplemental bill, which included an additional $1.5 billion for energy assistance. The Senate hasn't acted yet. Now, many states, including, say, California, for example, have blanket moratoriums. Families cannot be shut off from power if they don't pay their bills. But those moratoriums will end, and then what happens?
Yeah, that goes through 2021. But as you said, it also doesn't apply to all utilities. And considering that other states have a patchwork of laws in place about this, what other policies do you recommend going forward to make sure people have their basic utilities met during this pandemic?
One is we need to extend the supplemental unemployment program. Families receiving an extra $600 a week for their unemployed, that can help them pay for their energy bill. I think the second thing is we do have to add money to energy assistance programs because elderly people are not working. So they're not getting those funds, and this is a way to help them. One thing I think that a lot of people don't realize is this. So half the people who receive Social Security have no other source of income. They barely make it through the year, and one way they do it is by not turning on their air conditioning. But this summer, we're telling people they need to shelter in place. And so it puts an additional burden, and we need to pay for that. We can't ask people to make additional sacrifices. Because in a sense that if we said, look, there's no additional money, we can't have a society where 10% of the population is shut off from power. I mean, that is what could happen if we don't have additional funding and the pandemic continues and people don't get reemployed. And these dire kinds of scenarios are possible, but they don't have to happen. And I mean, the deal isn't over yet. Congress still has time to act. But we're very worried about this.
What recommendations do you have for people who are in need of assistance and they're hearing this right now?
Well, if you are in need of assistance, if you don't have an air conditioning system or an air conditioning unit, we do have a hotline that you can call that can direct you where to go for help. So even though I've said, yes, we don't have enough money, we do have resources, though, that are still available, and we really want to encourage people to apply.
And we'll have a link to those resources at hereandnow.org. That's Mark Wolf. He's Executive Director of the National Energy Assistance Directors Association. Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you.